Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hey guys, before we get started with this week's show, TrueCar is a sponsor that makes it possible for me to bring you Backseat Rider for free each week. And if you're looking to buy a new car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's enough terms to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including all the fees and accessories, before you even step into the dealership. TrueCar dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because TrueCar shows you what other people pay for that same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
Question to consider this week. How would you describe the difference between envy and admiration?
Ooh, envy and admiration.
I don't know.
How would you describe the difference between envy and admiration?
Oh, damn. Oh. The difference between envy and admiration?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of hard.
How would you distinguish those two things?
That's actually a really tough question.
And this week's question, a lot of people ask me where my questions come from. This week's question was born from two experiences that happened to me over the past week. First one, and I didn't know this going into my new day job at Fox 32, but all of the on-air talent at the station, myself included, we get ranked every day based on our performance on social media. So like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that. There's this email in my inbox every morning, every evening as well. There's two per day that tell me where I stack up compared to my colleagues. Actually, I should probably say I wish it would tell me where I stack up because it only lists the top people. And since I started, I believe I've only cracked the top 10 one time. That was on my very first day. And I'm not even talking about top 10 in Chicago. I'm talking about top 10 in my own newsroom. So going into this, I've been away from TV for almost 2 years now, but I thought I had a fairly big following on social media, but quickly learned it is nothing compared to, for example, my lovely co-anchor, Natalie, on the morning news. She's got 149,000 Facebook fans, okay? That is almost five times as many as I have. So makes me feel very social media inadequate, everybody. So that is experience number one. Experience number two, this happened the other day. I'm picking up my son from baby Montessori school. He's in class with other kids between 2 and 3 years old. And so I got there that day about the same time as this other mom who was picking up her 2-year-old son. And so we're together in the elevator afterwards. And this mom and her 2-year-old start speaking fluent French with one of them. It was like totally fluent accent and all that. And I was totally floored. So granted, the kid is a few months older than young Theo boy. I think he's almost 3. But still, Theo is just now starting to form sentences in English. And here's this little kid who is already way more bilingual than most Americans. So I turned to his mom and I'm like, that is amazing. That's incredible. And she told me that the policy in her house, she only speaks to him in French. So I thought that was really cool. So you guys all know I get really analytical on stuff. And so in my mind, there was this big difference between experience one at work and experience two in the elevator. with the social media stuff, I characterize what I'm feeling as envy. And with Theo's classmate, even though I'd love for Theo to magically be able to be bilingual as well, felt more like admiration. So the question became for me, why the distinction? What distinguishes these two emotions and what experiences shape that distinction? So these felt like perfect questions to take to the roads.
Envy and admiration. I think both of them are similarly rooted in the fact that it's your thought, sometimes an obsessive thought about somebody else.
Here's a 52-year-old who described her career as working in the liquor industry. She's originally from Columbus, Ohio.
But I think with admiration, you're looking at what somebody else is doing and it inspires you to do better. And envy, right, it's one of the seven deadly sins, is you're looking at somebody else and what they've accomplished, and all you can think of is anger and jealousy because they've accomplished it and you haven't. Envy and greed are probably of the deadly sins, like my two, like that I'm like, are just the worst because you actually have something that you can do about them. I just think it is wanting somebody else's achievement without putting in the work yourself.
That day, she needed a ride from Ravenswood to Humboldt Park. She was in the back seat with the young girl. I assumed it was her daughter. The daughter promptly fell asleep, which left me plenty of time to ask for specific examples.
Like, I have heroes in my life. I've always had heroes in my life and people who I've looked at. I think of someone like a Maya Angelou. I think of, like, Dave Letterman's a hero of mine. I think of people who, and what they all have had in common for me is the unwillingness to be afraid to speak their mind. And so that's something that I always continue to aspire to and to inspire somebody else, is to always have the freedom to stand your ground and speak from your own mind and your own heart. You may make mistakes, you may be wrong, but if it comes from the heart, it's a great place. So there's lots of people that I admire, and that's always a common thread for them. Envy, I think, like in high school, that was more of an issue for me. And I definitely was an unhappy kid in high school because I saw so many people being successful around me, and I wasn't willing to do the work for that success.
Is there a particular person that embodied that for you?
I don't know if it's a particular person. For me, being a woman of color, and I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, so it was the fact that, you know, like my friend's hair was always flowing and straight and whatever, you know, all these things, and I was very envious of it, and I got caught up in trying to emulate that and be somebody else instead of being myself, and it made me, you know, wonky, you know, it made me a very unhappy person. It was a completely unachievable goal. Trying to be somebody else is an unachievable goal. Being the best you is your achievable goal. And so it was like in my 20s when I really started embracing who I was and celebrating what was in me. And while I could admire things that they did, I didn't need to be envious of them or their life. No one's got a perfect life. You know, they had issues, other things I found out when they were older that definitely humanized them. I had no idea they were going through.
Is there an example you can give?
Just that, you know, friends who maybe they were dealing with divorce or didn't get along with a sibling or didn't like the way they look or didn't feel they were smart enough and they kept it within them. But me, outside looking in, thought like they had the whole world made, you know, and so... It was a great lesson for me. I grew up, my father's kind of a perfectionist and I'm a perfectionist, and I had to learn how to be imperfect. And once I learned that, embraced that, really my envy of other people just went away.
So the envy was less about the other people and more about yourself.
Exactly, more about myself.
Out of curiosity, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
All right. And so when do you feel like in life you were able to make that transition? You mentioned your 20s, but it would be useful for people to hear a personal story of how you actually made the switch between being envious and having that be your tendency and then switching to being imperfect is okay?
Honestly, I have to give it to a great friend of mine. I was about 24, 25, and we were sitting down talking, and I think something that's also a common trait of people who live by envy, they're narcissistic, and they talk a lot about themselves as kind of a way to over-inflate their own egos, and I definitely was guilty of that in my 20s. And I had one person who was just a really, really, really good friend. And we were hanging out one night. And he's like, I'd love to talk to you honestly. I was like, absolutely. I'm the most honest person in the world. And he's like, actually, you're not. And it kind of like, you know, took me off guard. And he's like, I'm saying this because I love you. And he's like, you talk nonstop about yourself. And it drives people around you crazy. And he goes, I think it comes out of the fact that you are really insecure. And he's like, and I think that you're a great person. And I just want you to learn to celebrate yourself. And he was really such a great friend. And the way he said it was very lovingly. You know, I'm kind of rushing the moment. It was over the course of like a 2-hour conversation. And he, you know, I walked away from that because I thought, wow, like this person wasn't being malicious. And it actually... he was the first person in my life who acknowledged, who saw that I was unhappy with myself. And I think that was always part of what I had wanted somebody to see. It was like, oh, you're unhappy, but you're very good at playing happy and doing all these things, but you're unhappy. And because you're unhappy, these are the traits that you're exemplifying. And it was the first person, and it was just being seen and heard for the first time. And that was a big change for me. And then I really started working on myself, doing classes and went to therapy and reading just books and dug more into myself and became a much more confident person. So henceforth, I didn't need to be jealous of other people who had their own confidence. And to this day, like, I celebrate other people's accomplishments. I celebrate what they do. You know, every once in a while you get irked, someone gets a break, you're like, that should have been my break, you know? But at the end of the day, I'm like, you know what? Good for them. I have opportunities that I can create for myself. And so that was my big change.
How was he able to not piss you off so much that you got defensive and dug your heels?
Well, I did get defensive during the argument. Trust me, I didn't just sit and take it like roses and sunshine and was like, okay. You know, it was a conversation that went over a period of time. It was actually, we'd been out hanging out with friends. And I don't know, maybe I think I probably did something while we were hanging out. And we just went for a walk, and it was just the two of us. And it was, you know, literally like in his car because he was giving me a ride home. And then we ended up just sitting in front of my place and talking for a few hours. And he really, truly was a very good friend, and I knew didn't have a malicious bone in the body. And the way he approached it, he kind of asked for permission to talk about it first. And I was like, okay. And I definitely did get defensive in the beginning. But at the end of it, you know, and it was sometimes just the right person knows how to reach somebody. Or you as a person just need the right person to hear you. And he was the right person. And he had the courage to stand up and... you know, we've been great friends ever since. That was like 30 years ago, so.
You're still friends with him?
Oh, yeah.
What advice would you have for other people who may be listening who either want to have a conversation like that, who, let's say there's someone in their life that they need to have a coming to Jesus with.
Right. Oh, I said that all the time. I go, you need to come to Jesus moment.
What advice would you have for them based on that experience?
I would say always remember when you are talking to somebody like that, it's from love. First of all, see if that person is even open and receptive to having that kind of a conversation. If not, you know, pump them up, let them know, like, hey, I'd really like to talk about some serious stuff. I think it's important to come at it from a fact that you're not Superman and that you're not faultless being human. And I always tell people, I deal a lot with educating in my job now, that it's always important that you don't come at somebody above them and like you're better, because no one's going to hear that message no matter what that message is. You want to come at them or from under them, you know, from an empathetic place, from a place of love, you know, try and find out what's the root. Just not, you just can't tell somebody, this is what's wrong with you. You know, that's a completely inappropriate approach. And that's not at all what he did. And I think that's why I was able to hear it.
I also feel that when you say it's envy, it's kind of covering your own butt and being like, yeah, I envy you, without saying I kind of actually want what you have. Uh-huh. It's a nicer way to say it, I think.
This passenger is 28. She's got an administrative role at a local real estate office. And that day, I took her from Roscoe Village to the Logan Square Blue Line stop.
I think that envy has a little bit more to do with wanting what that person either has or wanting their success or whatever it is that they're doing. And admiration might have a little bit more to do with just really being like proud and happy that they're doing whatever it is that they're doing, or they have whatever they have. But that lack of like, I don't want it. I'm just purely happy. It's 100% like all about you. I'm so happy for you. And envy, I feel like there might be like more of an 80-20 split where like, I'm happy, but I do kind of also want that. And I think that could be a little bit of the difference.
For her, the most vivid time she remembers feeling that 80-20 split happened about a decade ago in college.
So I played college basketball. And I 1,000% could remember my freshman year of college being put on like the JV team, and a girl that I went to high school with who also went to the same college as me being pulled up and getting onto like the varsity college team. And I just remember being like, man, you worked so hard. Like, I know you did, and she deserved it 100%. But I was really kind of a little bit bitter. And there was a little bit of that like, man, why didn't I get that? I wish I had that. And I had to kind of go a whole year watching her do that before I had my opportunity to do it. So I definitely envied her for an entire year. But I still felt good for her. Like, I wasn't upset or anything like that. I just was like, man, I wish I was in her shoes, basically.
You mentioned 80-20 before. What percentage of happiness for her was there versus what percentage was this kind of I want that envy, kind of jealousy feeling?
I feel like it changed throughout the year. It was probably 50-50 at first. Mm-hmm. And as the season went along and I kind of came to terms with like, I still get to play. Like, I still get to do what I, you know, what I came to college to do and what I want to do. It probably went up to maybe like 70-30. And by the end of the season, when I was practicing with varsity and knew that I was going to have that opportunity, it probably went up to just straight admiration at that point. So I think it can change. But it's like that first initial like, oh man, that kind of hurt a little bit. Well, so for me, I think it was a positive experience in the end, because I did end up reaching the goal that I also had, which was her goal, which was to make it to that varsity team. Mm-hmm. So in the end, it was like, okay, you know, I was a little bit bitter. I might have been a little bit envious at first, but now I've gone through it. I've done my due diligence, and now I get to be kind of happy and have that same thing. So I kind of learned from it and was like, okay, maybe I don't need to be that envious in the future. But it's because I had a positive ending. I can't say the same if it was like, well, I didn't make it. You know, I don't know what would have happened, I guess, or how I would have felt had I not made the varsity team the following year. I don't know that I wouldn't have still been envious.
Coming up, the object of envy in middle school for a local college student.
Like, I didn't feel anything, like, from it, like, resonating from it. It was just that pure just wanting.
A young Chicago mother reflects on some complicated feelings she had toward her middle school best friend.
Like, I was happy that she had what she had, but I was just, like, in a way, like, sad that it's sad and, like, jealous. Like, I wish I had my parents.
And some brutal honesty from a man who stocks supplies at a small hospital.
It's like, you just kind of sit around and make more money than me, and it's bullshit.
All that in just a minute. But before you hit fast forward, while we're on the subject, if you want to help me try to climb the leaderboard at work, I am not above groveling, everybody. Please give me a follow on Facebook. My name is Anthony Ponce, by the way. Last name is spelled P-O-N-C-E. And I'd like to think I'm not that bad of a follow on social media. I post pictures of the passengers when they let me, of course, other behind-the-scenes stuff from producing the podcast. as well. Other option is to link up with other listeners of this podcast. We have a Backseat Rider community group also on Facebook. Just search Facebook groups for Backseat Rider and request to join. And before we get back to the roads, I need to pause for a quick moment to tell you about a sponsor that is helping make it possible for me to bring you this podcast free in 2018, and that is Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off the dry cleaning, you pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. The good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Hi, everybody. This is Susie Orman, and soon we'll be launching my new podcast, Women in Money. Don't you miss it. On the show, besides having a lot of fun, we're going to answer financial questions from listeners, and maybe, just maybe, we'll even put you on so we can have a chat. Wouldn't you just love to talk to me? So be sure to check out Women in Money on Apple Podcasts, podcastone.com, and the new Podcast One app.
There's a certain essence behind admiration and envy.
Welcome back. This is a 20-year-old college student. He's a poli-sci major from small-town Missouri.
They both come to, like the same kind of, like, destination, but the path you take to get there is different, I would say.
I picked him up on the near southwest side for a ride to the criminal courthouse at 26th and Cal. He was on jury duty that day.
How does it feel to be exercising your duty as a citizen today?
I mean, it's a duty. You kind of just have to do it, whether or not you have a feeling about it. So.
Are you hoping to be selected?
Probably not. I have a lot of papers I have to write.
Can you think of a time in, like, the earliest time in your life that you felt the emotion of envy?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Let's hear about it.
All right. So, I'll set the scene. This is Missouri, like middle school times. So everybody's walking around with the new J's. And I'm a military kid, so we never had very much money. So I see all these guys, all my friends walking around with like new J's everywhere.
Wait, I have to confess, I don't even know what a J is.
Oh, Jordans.
The new Jordans.
Yes.
Okay.
So they're walking around with new J's, and so I see them. I don't think much of it, but they just, like, something about them, like, looked cool to me. So I was like, oh, I wish I'd have those. But as time went on, like, that feeling grew more and more of, like, envious. Like, I didn't think anything else about, like, anything in the sense of admiration where there's any other part playing into it. I just kind of wanted those. So
it kept getting more and more intense.
It kept getting more and more. And then at the time, me and my friends were playing, like, in, like, recess, back when we still had recess. And when we were playing, I had, like, better shoes to, like, run in at that point. And my friend had Jordans, and then I was, like, playing quarterback or playing football. And so we switched shoes for a second so that he could, like, run. So we switched, and I put the Jordans on, and I was like, this is what I wanted. And then later on, a couple years down the road, I, like, finally, like, bought, like, my own Jordans, and I got them, but I got nothing from it, really. Like,
Once I had my own Jordans,
like, it just felt, like, I didn't feel anything, like, from it, like, resonating from it. It was just that pure just wanting from, like, middle school, and, like, wanting that, like, symbol of, like, the middle class status.
Envy's like jealousy, right?
This woman is a 25-year-old mother of four. She works part-time in the spa at a health club, and that's where we were headed that day after we dropped off her two youngest kids at school in Little Village. And her simple definition of the difference between envy and admiration, whether you feel good or bad.
So it depends, like I said. And there could be a good jealousy, too. Like, if my, like, one of my friends has a bigger butt than me, I was like, girl, I'm so jealous you have that butt. So it depends, you know what I mean, the way you use it, I guess.
So her earliest memory of feeling envy was also in middle school.
Like, growing up, I wanted to be, like, one of this girl that I did know, and, like, she, like, had, like, the big house growing up, and, like, her parents were together, and then, you know, her relationship with her sisters were, like, super, super awesome. Like, she just had, like, seemed to be, like, the perfect life or whatever.
What was her first name?
Monica.
Monica. Okay, so yeah. Monica. Now, you described her as under the umbrella of jealousy, where instead of kind of admiring that, like, that she's got these great relationships and mm-hmm. her family's rich or whatever, you kind of, you know, it wasn't cool. It didn't sit well with you.
Yeah, it's because, like, I was still fresh with the whole thing of, like, my parents, like, divorcing and all that stuff. So then I was just, like, I was hurt for that for, like, very, very long time.
How old were you when that happened?
Four.
And yeah. How old were you when you came across Monica?
I say, maybe in middle school.
Middle school.
Yeah.
So that hurt from your parents' divorce carried. I mean, you're 4 years old, and then by the time you're in middle school, you're like 11, 12 years old.
Right.
So now, was it anything that she did in particular, or do you feel like she just kind of embodied this negativity that you've been carrying around in yourself?
Well, no, we actually became best friends. Yeah. So it's like, it was just like the fact that she, like, I was happy that she had what she had, but I was just, like, in a way, like, sad that it's sad and, like, jealous. Like, I wish I had my parents. Like, you know, I wish my mom and dad were together and I had, like, this, like, nice things and stuff. You know what I mean?
Similar to the college basketball player we heard from earlier, this woman's feelings about her friend Monica's situation gradually morphed from envy to admiration.
So, yeah, like, I loved being over there. It was just, like, it's kind of like that one, like, it was the feeling that I guess I've been wanting, being, like, you know, with both mom and dad. Do you see what I'm saying?
Totally.
Yeah, so it was, like, kind of that kind of feel. And I was just like, all right, like, that helped me get over it. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, maybe I couldn't have my actual birth mom and dad together, but then I had these, like, amazing people that are willing to call me, like, their daughter, willing to have me spend the night more than, like, a weekend, you know, maybe weeks at a time.
And she says seeing Monica's family up close laid the groundwork for how she and her husband are now raising their four kids.
I'm going to be the best parent I can be for them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be the best mom for them. Like, maybe what I didn't have, I would be like, well, I wish I had this. So I'm going to give that to my kids. It could be emotionally, physically, financially, mentally even. You know what I mean? Like, even at the end of the night, like, I'm just like, before they go off to bed, give them their goodnight kiss and, you know. But it just, it just comes out. I'm more worried about myself right now, worried about getting my family where we need to be. So I kind of don't got time to, like, oh, look at her, she has whatever, red bottoms. Oh, look at him, he has whatever, like, all this money. Like, stuff like that. I don't know, whatever people worry about nowadays, about money, name brands, that's all people fucking worry about right now. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't have time for that. Like, right now, what I'm worried about is, like, getting my kids where they need to be, like, getting where we need to be, like, as a family.
To admire someone is to maybe see someone as an ideal. And to envy someone is to have a sense of, like, that could be me.
This passenger, 29 years old, stocks the supply shelves at a small community hospital. So surgical gloves, masks, diapers for patients, that kind of thing.
Whereas people we admire, there's a sense of not being able to reach the goal, perhaps. Like, I admire Olympians. I can't run a mile in 30 minutes, much less, you know.
4 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, I can't. Running a mile, I can't do that. I admire them. That's, you know, I feel I could never do that. I'm envious of people who win eating contests. Little bastards. I can eat 20 hot dogs in 5 minutes. They're just,
they just get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for it.
It's like, I can eat 100 hot dogs in 5 minutes. You know, you just had an empty stomach day. That's all. Jealous wise, it's when I know people who, at this point in my life, I'm jealous of like money, or it's like I know people who make a nice amount of money to basically just do nothing. Like, I know a guy, he's like a security guard, but it's something that will like never be robbed, and he kind of got the job like by accident. But he makes a little bit more money, so it's like, that could be me. I want that. Why do you have it and I don't?
Is he making significantly more than you?
Not significantly more. It's enough that if it were me, I'd be more comfortable than I am now.
Uh-huh.
So it's a sense of like, damn, I want that. And it's less work than what I do currently.
That was my next question. Does he work less hard?
He does, you know, less physical work. I mean, there's still... You know, he guards, but like, it's like, I could do that. I could live off that. It's petty jealousy. I've always said that the only thing I need to be happy is to, you know, have a job that keeps me in beer and Skittles. I'd have a higher quality of beer, maybe, you know, maybe get the special skit, like, get the special Skittles pack every now and again, you know.
Sure.
I can get the, all like, you know, sour Skittles maybe, or start drinking weird beers, but you know, nothing like, you know, life altering or groundbreaking. It's like you just kind of sit around and make more money than me, and it's bullshit.
Okay, today we explore these two related but at the same time very distinct human emotions, and for me these conversations were a great reminder, first of all, that I'm not the only one who struggles with petty envy from time to time. And also that in the grand scheme of things, that first passenger is right. Accepting imperfection may just be the key here, or phrased another way, regardless of whether someone else's life situation provokes admiration or envy, I want to leave you with this thought from the mother of four.
Everybody's either a blessing or a lesson. That's the way I see it. So if you're not, for me, it could be emotional wise, it could be like work wise, it could be anything wise, like, you know what I mean, friendships even, you know what I mean, if it's either a blessing or a lesson, then that's the way I see it.
And that is where I'm going to leave things for this week. Don't forget to join up with me and other listeners of the podcast in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook. That is where you can discuss this or any other episode with other regular listeners of the show. All you have to do is search Facebook groups for Backseat Rider Community, request to join, and one of the moderators or myself will approve you. Also, before I go, real quick reminder, you can use the promo code Backseat Rider. If you haven't signed up for Lyft yet, punch that in to the promo code section. It's good for $50 in free ride credit, and it also helps me out a lot too. The podcast is edited by Bob Gilmartin, and additional music this week composed and produced by Bob. Also, thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of Backseat Rider. You can look for new episodes of this show every Wednesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app. And if you have an iPhone, make sure you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts.